You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of June 28th, 2016, and episode number 271. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. This week, a crazy week. I don't know, maybe it's the heat, but we got a lot of weird stories. Maybe not so much paranormal, but just weird. I got to talk about these things. Chupacabra, we got two stories about El Chupacabra. Is he attacking goats in Texas? And did somebody kill one in the Ukraine? And common sense hides behind a rock on Mars. We'll also talk about the Men in Black that story broke just before I, maybe not broke right before I went on the air, but I heard about it right before I went on the air last week. And we're going to talk about scientists having a cage match and Tupac. Yeah, we're going to do a little rap here. On the Paranormal News Insider, Tupac is not dead. Or is he? We'll also talk about Elvis. What about Elvis? And Tony Robbins, last but not least, this is my favorite story of the week. Tony Robbins raked over the coals. That's a great story. We'll also have the book of the week. And I go in a little different direction this week than I did last week. I had a little picture book. This one, that's a little thicker. You might like it. This week's news is brought to you by Thomas Francis University. Thomas Francis University is a metaphysics school that offers online spiritually based bachelor's, master's, and PhD doctoral metaphysics degrees, as well as single standalone courses in related metaphysical and esoteric topics. Instructors are easily accessible and offer world-class customer service and instruction. TFU and other ICMHS schools have hundreds of students and graduates in more than 50 countries worldwide. For more information on Thomas Francis University, please visit tfuniversity.org. And TF University is one of the couple of the educational outlets for Paranexus Anomalous Research Association. All right, now that I paid my bills for the week, I'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff I'll be doing over the next couple of weeks. July 29th. Through the 31st, I'm going to be at the Kecksburg UFO Festival in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, home to the purported UFO crash and subsequent UFO being carted off back in 1965. Won't be speaking, but I'll be hanging out there all weekend, mixing and mingling up with John Ventry, Stan Gordon, and a lot of other people. And speaking of Stan and John, I'll also be speaking at an event with those guys at the 4th Annual Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania on August 20th in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, home of the Big Flood. And it's going to be weird. No, it's going to be strange. That's right, it's going to be strange. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the event is free to the public. That's not, like I said, it's strange because usually they're they charge an arm and a leg, $500 for some of these events. No, just kidding. It's a charitable event, so donations are welcome at that event. And for more information on those and other events, you can check out paranewsinsider.com and click on the events tab at the top, and you can find local events to you. And you click on those links, and it'll take you to all the information you need for location, who's going to be speaking there, and so on and so forth, how much it's going to cost, and all those great things that you need to know. And I highly recommend checking it out. If you've never been to a paranormal conference or convention, you hear some good things, you hear some bad things. But trust me, they're worth it. It's you can mix and mingle. You're going to learn a lot of great stuff, and you're going to meet a lot of great people that are really good researchers and investigators. Now, yeah, you're going to get the Paris celebs as well, but these are a lot of these people are the people that are out there doing things, and we'll talk a little bit more about people doing things at the end of the program here, in reference to our book of the week. And last but not least, the paranormal poll. I started this, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. Really haven't had a whole lot of time to talk about it live on the air. Something I just tried out to try to get a little bit of interest from the outside world, people that aren't normally listening to this program, to throw out their opinion. We all have an opinion, right? Everybody does. Come on. I've seen your Facebook page. My goal is to allow the listeners to have a voice. Simply put, I want to take certain subjects and eventually blog about them. It's a lot of time. The particular subject for this current paranormal poll is something I've kind of been researching for years and talking about for years. I've never actually done a blog post to it because it's such a complicated issue. But I'm willing to listen to other people's arguments, which I've been listening to for almost 20 years now. But I want to hear yours because I'm pretty much a balanced type of person, and I don't really think of one extreme or the other. But I do want to present both sides of the argument and let the listeners, or the, I guess it would be viewers if you're looking at a blog, decide really what direction all this stuff will go in. And this particular one is pretty much all about opinion. Now, some of the other topics we may talk about here on the paranormal poll may have a little bit of facts to back them up in one direction or another. But this one, this first one, is about, is paranormal unity possible? Yes, paranormal unity. It's been the big word dragged around for quite a long time. It's not new, trust me. People think that this is something that's only been talked about for maybe a few years. But no, this goes back a long, long way. And I published this poll. You can find it on the Paranormal News Insider website at paranewsinsider.com. Really not done a great job at putting it out on social media, but just feeding my stories and stuff out there lately. The poll's there. It's not really driving the show. It's the stories that drive the show. So when I get time, I'll push that out a little bit harder and just trying to get it to see whether or not it's going to stick or not. If it goes away, it goes away. No big deal. But so far, it looks like people are kind of more positive about this subject than really I would be. The question, is paranormal unity a possibility? The potential answers are as follows. Yes, absolutely. Then second was possibly. Third, probably not. A little bit more negative. And last is absolutely not. And so far, 80% of the votes landed at possibly. And 20% yes. So very positive outlook on paranormal unity. And if I have time, we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. Probably not going to happen today. We'll find out if I can trudge through this news quickly. Lots of stuff to talk about. Why not? We're going to jump in, both feet into cryptid news. This is a great, great story here. If you believe it. I didn't believe it. It was pretty funny, actually. I was laughing the entire time. It comes from a website called Patriot Outdoor News. It seems strange things are afoot in Waco, Texas. Strange things are always happening in Waco, where dead goats have turned up. Dead goats. Uh-oh. You know what that means. Police said that two goats were killed at Magnolia Homes, a property in Waco that was featured on the HGTV show Fixer Upper. Fixer Upper. Not one that's on my DVR. According to this article, police are attempting to determine how the goats were killed, but they feel that one or more people made their way onto the property late night on Friday, June 17th, or early on Saturday, the 18th. The article mentions nothing else about any kind of police investigation, but it sounded to me like the perpetrator was a person. Yet this article goes right into the chupacabra angle by stating, quote, who does this kind of thing? El chupacabra. That's who. My voice for emphasis there. Nice summary, but where is the proof? The writer of the article on Patriot Outdoor News, this article has actually been picked up by quite a few paranormal news outlets. He states, quote, thanks to today's PC culture, it's not acceptable to point the finger at chupacabras, even though their name literally means goat sucker. I'm confident after thorough inspection of the bodies and finding two small puncture wounds with no trace of blood in the animals, authorities will release a statement that it was indeed El Chupacabra. Unquote. Well, for starters, according to the police, the goats were found shot to death. Shot to death. So unless El Chupacabra has been working on his marksmanship, I'd say we have a crazy human on the loose that should be caged up. Yeah, I think you should have read the whole article before you made such a crazy assumption and leapt to that conclusion. And I'm going to take the little article, schmarticle, and throw it in the chat room in there for those guys to devour at their will. And if you're not in the chat room, my goodness, you're missing out. It's a lot of fun to be in that chat room and chit-chatting with people and talking about what I'm talking about and trying to keep each other awake as I drone on for an hour every Tuesday night here on WCJV Digital Radio. But I do my best to keep you alive. And if you're not in the chat room, here's something I'm going to start doing. You got to show up now. You know, I was tolerant before the first 40 shows, but now, no, now I want you there. And I'm going to start giving away some goodies. That's right. If you're not in the chat room, you're going to miss out on some goodies. I'm going to give away, I don't know, whatever's in the prize closet here. I've got some swag. I've got some gift certificates, some cash. This week, I'm giving away $50. $50 to the first person in the chat room that can say the year. The year. Now, we were talking about this band before the show. Here in the chat room, Fleetwood Mac, the first with the year this band formed, the first person gets $50. $50 in the chat room. See what you're missing out on? That's what you're missing out on. It's, you know, we got to do something to get listeners in on the show. So first person that does that, $50. Anyway, El Chupacabra, back to this guy, a Ukrainian farmer known as Ivan. That's a cool name to have. If you're a Ukrainian farmer, he's supposedly killed a chupacabra. Now, he did it the way any Ukrainian farmer would, with a pitchfork. I mean, old school. I like it. Now, we thought the chupacabra swam over or took a life raft to the United States from Puerto Rico. Well, no. The El Chupacabra has been seen virtually all over the world, including Russia, Kazakhstan, and, well, obviously the Ukraine. Now, Ivan has been finding some of his chickens and rabbits killed, and no word on it if he owns goats. And he reacted when he saw the creature stalking his barn. Now, if you've seen pictures of this, it looks creepy. It looks like the traditional chupacabra that we're used to seeing on news reports here in the United States. Now, officials supposedly claim they have no idea what the creature is. Now, I don't know if that's real or it's just the interpretation of those people that are pushing this out. I've only seen it. The Daily Mail has this. Then Mysterious Universe picked it up. So I'm not sure. And I highly recommend go to Mysterious Universe. Matter of fact, I'm going to throw that link in the chat room. Instead of the Daily Mail, there's a little bland. It's not really all that exciting. But the Mysterious Universe, they did a heck of a job with this. It's hilarious. The article itself is funnier than the entire story. The way they put it, kind of a spinoff of Fight Club. It's pretty funny if you know anything about Fight Club. Well, shouldn't be talking about it in the first place, but it's pretty funny. Now, officials claim they have no idea what this creature is, although it's probably, more than likely, some sort of dog, fox, coyote, something that has suffered from mange. And it looks like Audrey is our winner. Audrey wins $50. So putting this in the chat room for her, and there's your $50. If you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on something awesome right now. Anyway, let me find this link here for the Mysterious Universe. Again, you got to check the story. It's funny. It talks about Fight Club. And it talks about this Ivan who killed Chupacabra. UFO news. Let's hover over to UFO news. I mentioned the Daily Mail. Well, they got another story here. And, you know, they're not always known for fact-finding or accuracy. But a recent story on aliens on Mars has found a bit of reality. They did a pretty good job with this article. I have to admit, I'm kind of, how do I say this politely? I'm kind of fed up. I'm kind of tired of reading about these kinds of stories. But they did a great job uncovering this. And really good. The YouTube researcher Paranormal Crucible. Yes, the YouTube researcher. I mean, I'm sorry. The YouTube channel Paranormal Crucible released a video of a photograph from NASA's Curiosity rover that is on the planet Mars. Now, of course, they found an object in the picture that looks to be an alien. And this alien is peeking around the corner of a rock. Of course it is. What else would it be doing? They claim it is 6 inches tall and may be a relative of the Atacama alien that was discovered in Chile. Now, this is the same small alien body that was said to have been a human with a genetic disorder, not an extraterrestrial biological entity. UFO Sightings Daily editor Scott G. Waring also added, the figure is an alien species that is alive, but dwindling. Huh? The figure is an alien species that is alive, but dwindling. Not sure where he got his facts from. The Daily Mail has a big orange box in the middle of this story with the title, quote, Why We See Strange Things on Mars, unquote. And normally I don't really read off of articles, but I'm going to read everything that's in that orange box because it's funny, because it's true, and it's great that they explain this story as to what's going on, just in case all of the believers jump in on the comment section at the bottom. And it says, quote, Pareidolia is the psychological response to seeing faces and other significant and everyday items in random stimulus. It is a form of apophenia where people see patterns in random unconnected data. There have been multiple occasions when people have claimed to see religious images and themes in unexpected places. On the Red Planet, one of the most famous is the face on Mars, spotted by one of the Viking orbiters in 1976. This was later proven to be just a chance alignment of shifting sand dunes. Unquote, boom, drop the mic. All right, I thought that was funny. Anyway, after the Atacama comments, the Daily Mail goes on to explain the anomalous skeleton, putting the facts ahead of the story. And this is what is wrong with anomalous research. In 2016, too many people think that technology can solve everything, can give us all the answers, that a random picture on the planet Mars or the moon or anywhere else is going to give us instantaneous proof of extraterrestrials. Any picture of a random haunted building is going to give us proof of ghosts through reflections on the windows. So too many people think that this technology does way more than what it can do, especially from their computer desk in mommy's basement. Now, these YouTube and blogger armchair researchers, they'll throw anything at the wall for clicks and likes. So it's all about popularity. And they seem to go way out of their way to avoid common sense and logic. This kind of stuff, they would have gotten torn apart for 10, 15 years ago. Now it's just like, who can up the ante? And as far as the facts about aliens, you didn't see those air quotes, but facts about aliens, it is ridiculous to add more speculation to the photograph and then people add their uneducated guesses as to what is in the photograph other than a rock. But it's a rock. Where do you jump to the conclusion that it's some alien hanging out, especially an alien of a specific species of something that we discovered one time on Earth in Chile? Nothing against Chile, but... Now, I appreciate the thinking outside the box. Nothing wrong with that. But Occam would use his razor to cut his wrist if he read this story. I know it's a little graphic, I'm sorry, but come on. It's a little crazy. I don't know if you want to read the story. Forget that. I'm gonna throw the YouTube video in there. You can watch it. You can save it for later. Whatever you want to do. But it's theirs. There it is. Oh my gosh, there it is. He's peeking around the corner. They even drew eyes and a face on there, which is kind of going the distance. It's not thrilling enough to see something, quote, peeking around the corner, unquote. But they've got to draw a face on there just so maybe you didn't notice it or you didn't figure it out. There it is. And that's it for UFO news. Hopefully, I'm looking forward to next week because we should have those statistics from MUFON. Hopefully, we'll have that for the month of June next week. Interested to see in what direction the sightings will go, because remember, last year in June was the largest number of UFO reports in MUFON history. Will they repeat? I don't know. We'll find out. Then we're going to go to other news here. A lot of stories here in other news. And one of my, I don't know if it's my all-time favorite, but probably one of my top, well, let's just say top 10. I've covered a lot of stories since 2008 here on the Paranormal News Insider. But this is a feel-good story, kind of, more or less. And it kind of explains some potential sightings. Not this guy himself, but overall, similar actions. You may wonder what I'm talking about. So let me just cut to the chase. He's back. That's right. He's back. The upright walking bear. He has been sighted once again in New Jersey. The bear, now famously known as Petals, cute, was last seen in December, and locals wondered if he would ever be seen again. The bear sustained injuries to one of its front paws. It actually looks like it's missing part of one paw, and the other paw just looks a little mangled. So he's relied on walking upright to get around, which they can do. That's a perfectly natural thing for bears to do. However, they usually do it for short distances or just to look around. Officials in the Oak Park, New Jersey area state that the bear was first seen in August of 2015 and more than likely sustained an injury to its front paws after a car accident. Now, there was a public outcry to have the bear moved to a sanctuary, namely the Orphaned Wildlife Center in Otisville, New York. Even a GoFundMe page was started that generated over $28,000. However, officials stated that the bear would do better in its natural environment, and if its health deteriorated, they would step in. Now, this sounds exciting. The history of this bear actually goes back further than what's reported in this initial story. On episode number 187 of the Paranormal News Insider, back on August 12th, 2014, I reported on the upright walking bear in Oak Park that was walking pretty much near the same neighborhood. They didn't exactly say exactly where at in Oak Park, but the neighborhood pretty much looks familiar. I got a link to that video as well. Now, that video has generated 2.7 million views. It's a rich bear. And it was a pretty big story back then. Now, come on, is it really a different bear, or did the locals and officials forget about the story? However, during the last couple of days, I did dig up a couple of stories that did reference this bear as being the same one as back in 2014. So I was a little kind of upset about that initially, but then stories finally came out. I did email a couple of people, so I don't know if I had anything to do with it. And again, while there hasn't been an unusual amount of Bigfoot sightings reported in New Jersey, these videos do tend to make us think of Bigfoot. A lot of people commented that it looks like, you know, your typical Bigfoot sighting, seeing this bear strutting. It's kind of weird to watch it too. I would say upright walking bears are probably responsible for quite a few reports. Again, it's perfectly natural. They don't do it too far. They do it in spurts. But if they're just hanging out in the woods and they're not used to seeing people, they may walk upright for a little bit of a distance to thwart any kind of threat from a large creature carrying a big stick, looking like a set of leaves walking through the woods. I don't know. And again, I reached out to a few people about this, the other video, the old video of 2014, including a man named Larry Hajina, who is a press officer for the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection Agency's Division of Fish and Wildlife. Sent him a nice little email with some links and other pertinent information, and unfortunately, he did not respond. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate that. So, I'll have the link for the. Here's the. I'll throw the first link in the chat room back from 2014. Pretty cool. It's Petals with a P. Petals. You know, pedals like a bike. Come on. Petals. Looks pretty cool. Yeah, Petals. And here's a link. I'll throw the link in the chat room as well. So NewJersey.com, NJ.com has the story. We'll see if it continues to permeate in the news at all, whether or not it's going to continue to be anything of a topic or people freak out about it. I think now that people know that this bear has been injured, getting around for a couple of years, it's sad, but you know what? It's nature. We can't just protect every single animal that's injured and take care of it or nurse it back to health or whatever, because I mean, it's nature, and sad as it is, things die. And unfortunately, if humans intervened in the beginning to hit it, yeah, somebody had made mention of that, hey, we hit it, we should take care of it and whatever. But I just say, I think just let nature run its course. That's just my thinking on the whole topic. And we're halfway through the show, so it's my obligation to let you know that you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And an exciting show coming up after mine, well, an hour after I'm done, so you can brew some coffee. I know Frank Lee is going to be tonight, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Frank Lee will be talking with world-renowned parapsychologist, author, and researcher, a guy who's been doing this stuff for over 30 years, Lloyd Auerbach, tonight on the Paranormalities and Ponderings radio show with host Frank Lee, right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting. And you can find us at WCJVRadio.com. Again, Lloyd Auerbach tonight, live. Going to be a fun show. Love Lloyd. He's a mentor to a lot of people. And if you don't own his books, you're missing out. Great stuff. Great teacher. Very knowledgeable. And he has a great way of putting things so anybody can understand. He's not really putting anybody down or anything like that. He's just kind of speaking in a way that kind of covers anybody. If you're coming into the field, you're new to parapsychology, you're new to psychical research or ghost investigation, whatever it is, whatever your hobby is, whatever your angle is, he's really good at just kind of getting you into that field, into that arena. And I know I've read pretty much all he's ever written. Great knowledge. So don't miss that show tonight. And where are we at? That's what I'm searching for. Well, last week, right before I went on the air, Cindy, my producer, asked me if I heard about the story about the Men in Black. And there's a few stories floating around about Men in Black, actually one on Women in Black as well. Nick Redfern wrote an article, and I wasn't sure if that was what it was about, but no. I hadn't, but because usually I get home in the afternoon, and this is embarrassing to say, but I'm not young. I'm not a young kid. So I work all night. I don't work all night. I get up early, go to work 4 o'clock in the morning, come home in the afternoon. I'm tired. And that's why I do the show a little earlier than most radio shows. I'm not out here at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. That's why I do this early, because I work a wacky shift and I took a nap, and I get up before the show, get a little Scooby snack and get ready to come on the air. Well, I hadn't had time to really look at the news for that day. And she told me I hadn't seen it. So I looked it up real quick, just as pretty much getting ready to go on the air. And sadly, you know, what I saw last week is pretty much the same all week. Nothing's really changed. I expected some kind of update coming out of the weekend. But I think that the police did their job, and they thwarted this from happening again. And what we knew back then and what we know now is the same information, is there were people apparently hanging out near Highway 22 west of Muscatine, Iowa, and in other locations. Now, these people were dressed in black trench coats, and it's been pretty hot out there. I know it's been hot here, very humid. It's been hot all week, 90s, high 80s, so that's kind of unusual. And they were just seen just hanging out next to the road, and in some cases, actually approaching vehicles. The Muscatine County Sheriff C.J. Ryan stated, quote, "We have had several reports of men dressed in black entering the roadway in rural Muscatine County. We don't have any information about these people, but we have seen several posts on Facebook about the same type of activity. It would be extremely helpful to the sheriff's office if you witness this type of activity that you call 911 immediately. Your help is greatly appreciated," unquote. So social media, specifically Facebook, has made these sightings into much more than what was actually reported. But the county sheriff, they threw in a little alienish looking picture, and the wording "Men in Black" really carried the story pretty far, and I think that was their intention. According to Facebook, one motorist stopped in order to avoid the men in the road, but then was robbed. Really? That didn't happen. The legend of the Men in Black is quickly approaching epic proportions on Facebook, but in reality, there have only been actually 3 reports of people on the side of the road, and no robberies. The story initially broke on June 20th, where the sheriff reacted to the social media stir by saying, quote, "It may be juveniles just exercising very poor judgment, thinking that this was a fun prank to engage in. With the proliferation of talk about this on Facebook, there may be several people engaging in this type of thing now," unquote. He also stated that those involved could be charged. And I think those involved more than likely read that story, and that's why we haven't heard anything since. Just my guess, just what I'm thinking. So they did their job. Using social media against itself, good for them. I was kind of hoping that to have some kind of arrest or pictures or something or some kind of weird story, but unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know, nothing happened. So a little science here. Scientists have validated that humans have a sixth sense. Holy smokes. That's a big story there. Well, it's actually kind of one of those sort of stories. The study involved magnetoreception. Magnetoreception. No, it's got nothing to do with the X-Men or a party. But animals that are able to navigate or orientate using Earth's magnetic field, or any magnetic field for that matter, like birds flying south for the winter and just being able to find directions, or bees going, you know, that kind of stuff. But do humans have the ability? And if they do, how do they have it? why don't we all know about it? Why do we need GPSs in our cars? I guess that's my question. Well, Joe Kirschvink from the California Institute of Technology says his experiment can be, quote, repeated and verified, unquote. His words, not mine, and involves magnetite receptor cells. I wasn't aware I had magnetite receptor cells, but that's cool. I might get a shirt that says I have magnetite receptor cells on it. Most scientists feel that it's cryptochromes that are responsible for magnetoreception and allow birds to, again, fly south for the winter, among other amazing feats of animal navigation. However, Kirschvink feels that these cells are responsible instead. He placed people in a pitch-black Faraday cage and turned on a pure magnetic field inside the cage. I don't know, that sounds kind of scary to me. I don't think I would want to be a part of that that experiment. You know, unless I got like a gift card or something to for lunch. I don't know. I don't know about being locked in a Faraday cage with a pure magnetic field being thrust upon me in pitch black darkness. But I'd do it for money, I guess. As the magnetic field moved, he noted EEG fluctuations that he correlated with the movement of the field. Well, I guess that sounds scientific to an extent. He is currently working on a peer-reviewed paper so that others can replicate his experiment. So this isn't a published work, so it's not really validated. I just use that to hype the story. But yeah, that sounds a little fishy to me, and we'll see how that goes. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. And if you want to read a little bit of that techno mumbo jumbo, I'll throw that one in the chat room as well. And I'll also be talking about that during the week through social media. So don't fear. You don't have to be in the chat room. I'd really appreciate it. It'd be great. We can mix and mingle, and maybe you can win $50. But I do feed out these stories during the week. I usually have, I don't know, between 5 and 7 stories. So that kind of works out that there's 7 days in a week. And, you know, I fish the stuff out through the week. And any kind of big breaking story that I uncover some information for, yeah, I will leak it out a little early. I'll let the cat out of the bag if I need to. But you can follow me on social media anywhere. Facebook, Google+, Twitter, you know, those usual places that everybody hangs out on. The usual suspects. And the shows are archived. Producer Cindy, she puts it out on Mixcloud pretty much right away. I don't know how she does all that work. A lot of hard work behind the scenes. And then whenever I get around to it, I put it on Podbean. So I have an official home for the Paranormal News Insider archive shows that is on Podbean. And that goes all over the place. Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, you name it. It's picked up by a lot of different organizations. So because I know you guys have your own, we all have our own methods of listening to podcasts. Me, I'm usually strapped to the computer, my headphones on. I stream a little bit now, every now and again, wherever I have Wi-Fi, and listen to shows just to hear what's going on out there and listen to some people. It's fun. It's good. There's a million shows on. Yeah, only one that does the news for an hour that I'm aware of. So, yeah, check it out. I'm everywhere. Social media speaking. And I don't inundate you guys with 20, 30 things a day. Some of these radio shows I've had to unfollow over the years. They just, like, every 5 minutes, here's a story. Every 5 seconds, there's a story. And at the end of the day, there's a few that I've seen 60, 70 posts. I think they're trying to set world records or something. I don't even know there was that many stories in a day. But that's just how I am. And I do read some that they do about 10 a day, and it's fine. It's cool. I'm cool with that. I'm not trying to point fingers, but I'm just kind of old school. I just like, one story a day. Anyway, people coming back from the dead. If you waited for that story, well, there's two stories. You're in luck. What happened to Amelia Earhart? How did Marilyn Monroe really die? Who shot JFK? Now, these are perplexing questions dealing with famous people who have passed away. Or have they? Sadly, the modern-day version of these mysteries surrounds people like Michael Jackson. And the subject of this story, Tupac Amuru Shakur, or as he's affectionately known as Tupac. Now, Tupac began using the name Machiavelli after being released from prison and shortly before he died. Now, what's weird about Machiavelli? Well, it's said that the real Machiavelli, Niccolo Machiavelli, who was a politician, philosopher, and considered the father of modern political science, once faked his own death and mentioned this as a way to fool your enemies. Wow. That spells it out right there. He's not really dead. He just fooled us. Well, unfortunately, Machiavelli died once. Once. He didn't fake anything. In 1627 at age 58, he died once. He didn't come back. There was no reunion tour. No 15th album, none of that stuff, no t-shirts, no CDs, nothing. And no one has been able to find any information or any mention at all of him stating to fake one's death, as Suge Knight, a friend of Tupac's, has stated on record a number of times. Now, Tupac was shot on September 7th, 1996. 1996. Almost 20 years ago in Las Vegas, while in his car with Suge Knight. He was rushed to the hospital with 4 gunshot wounds and put into a barbiturate-induced coma. Probably not the best thing to do for a rap star, no offense. On September 13th, 1996, at age 25, Tupac died of internal bleeding. Reports have come up from time to time that Tupac has faked his own death. Now a new report has surfaced that a dying police officer named David Myers was paid $1.5 million by Tupac to keep quiet about the incident. Wow. It's also stated that many others were in on the faked death. Well, why isn't this on the front page of every newspaper? Why isn't it on TMZ? Why isn't CNN talking about this? Well, I might not be able to prove that Tupac is alive or dead. But I can prove that the photograph of this David Myers in the article is actually a man who has pretty much had a stranger death than this Myers character. But his name, the actual person in the photograph, is actually Walter Williams. And he was from Mississippi and died on March 13th, 2014. Once. Well, actually, no, he died twice, which is weird. Walter Williams died 2 weeks prior to his actual death. I know that sounds confusing, right? But listen, he woke up in the body bag. Yikes. And then was hospitalized. And then 2 weeks later, the 78-year-old died for the last time, I guess, on March 18th of 2014. His nephew, Eddie Hester, said he told the county coroner, quote, "Be sure this time," unquote. So I guess the legend of Tupac continues. The story pretty much a hoax. I mean, you can't post a picture without people figuring it out by using a TinEye or a Google image search. That's 101, kids. And that's really all I needed for that. Come on, he's 45 now, at any rate. I think he would want to come out of retirement or whatever's going on. It's one of those conspiracy theories. It's cool. Speaking of conspiracy theories of people dying, Elvis is alive. Again, why isn't this on TMZ? I don't know. The king himself is back. Well, it's actually thought that he never died. Now, there is a video out there that proves that he is still alive, a YouTube video of closed circuit television. Basically, a video shot off of a monitor. I love those. Those are just so great. Just kidding. I hate those. It's appeared and it's rumored to be of an old Elvis with a ponytail. And he's actually kind of thin for what I remember Elvis being. In the video, the man is doing some, well, let's just call it landscaping of sorts. The person who uploaded the video states, quote, "Our personal view is it's him. When you look at his walk and you look at his gait, Long arms. It's him 100%. As he approaches, he looks at the camera. As he walks away, he glances at the camera. Unquote. Wow. Because a regular 81-year-old person wouldn't normally glance toward a closed-circuit television camera. Yeah, that's right. If Elvis were still alive, he would be 81 years old. I'm not sure this guy would qualify. If you look at this guy, I don't think he looks 81 to me. I don't think Elvis was in the greatest shape when he went. No pun intended. But he, you know, maybe he cut down on his peanut butter and banana sandwiches. I don't know. The video uploader is so sure that this is Elvis. He said he can prove it through body language alone. Quote, he raises his two fingers to the top of his head as proof of life signal. Or as a proof of life signal. Whatever the heck that means. I don't know. He told us he is alive. The simple V sign. I'm alive. He is giving us a clue that he knows we are all there watching him, and to his most loyal fans that he is indeed with us, unquote. And they also state that he, I guess Elvis broke his pinky finger once. I forget which hand. I think it was right hand or whatever. And they claim that you could tell this in the video. So that proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that it is the king, Elvis Presley. And if you're looking, if you're in the chat room, boom, there he is. There's Elvis. He's alive. Now go buy his albums. Last but not least, the last story I have this week. My favorite story of the week. Men in Black was close. Nothing really major happened. Personal finance advisor, best-selling author, and best known as a motivational speaker, Tony Robbins. I'm sure you've seen his infomercials. He's in a little hot water this week. Well, maybe not hot water. It's quite the right description. That's why I used raked over the coals for what recently happened. Last Thursday, Robbins was hosting a three-day motivational seminar designed to break through people, their personal limitations, and improve their quality of life. And the event was called Unleash the Power Within. During part of the seminar, he had participants walk across hot coals. What could possibly go wrong? Well, as you can guess, many participants, around 40 participants, were treated for burns to their feet and legs at the scene of the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center in downtown Dallas, Texas. According to Dallas Fire and Rescue spokesman Jason Evans, most people were treated and released, yet five people were treated at the Parkland Hospital burn unit. Ouch. Walking on hot coals isn't exactly mind over matter, however. It's a little bit more science. Now, while coals can get very hot together, they're actually a very poor conductor of heat individually, and walking over them quickly will actually do you no harm. Now, typically, ashes are spread over the coals to help in the aid of insulation, the insulation process. So it looks hot. You see the little ash, but it's actually to create a barrier. And another barrier, the last barrier, really, other than your skin, is actually the sweat of the feet, which can actually produce water vapor that acts as a barrier to dangerous heat. And I've seen this done, actually. And what they do is they make you keep your shoes on, take your socks off and put them back in your shoes up until the last second. They don't really tell you why, but that's why. It's to keep the moisture on your feet, so when you actually do step onto the coals, you have a little bit of extra insulation. It's kind of a gimmick, but really, don't do it. Yeah, I've tried it before. I'm not going to lie. All in all, the goal is to walk quickly over the area. Yeah, when I was younger, my younger days, I even put my whole hand in a fryer without harm. As a bet. You know, I was a teenager. I mean, come on. We all did stupid stuff. I learned my lesson, but I didn't burn myself. But I realized that if you put your hand in cold water and don't let anybody notice that you did that, and then put it in there real quick, boom, done, it insulates your hand from heat. Now, my stupid stuff aside, reports are that a similar incident involving Tony Robbins happened back in 2012, where 21 people were treated for burns That happened in California. So I don't know. Nobody got hurt in the last 4 years, or maybe he's not done this gimmick in 4 years. But don't recommend doing that again, Tony. Don't do it. Representatives for Robbins were unavailable for comment. Of course they were. Of course they were. Yeah, well, stupid is as stupid is. So let's jump into the book of the week. A little, you know, last week I had the, it was a little picture book. And, you know, it's nice. It's nice to kind of break from what I normally do here on the show as far as books of the week. And this week I go in a completely different direction. I have a whole ton of books on parapsychology. And it's something I've kind of been, I don't know why I haven't been doing it, but I just kind of avoid it because these are some heavy duty books, thick books, this one included. This one is quite big. It's 419 pages thick. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a pretty thick looking book, and it's on parapsychology. And I figured it's a matter of time until I had to start getting some of these scholarly type books, these reference material books out there. And why not? Lloyd Auerbach is on tonight on the network. So why not? It's a perfect night. I didn't actually plan that, but it's cool that it happened. And the book of the week asks the question, is there legitimate evidence for a world beyond the ordinary? Well, this book, it's kind of a compilation of articles, scientific articles over the years. And it's called The Parapsychology Revolution. It's got a couple of authors here. Let me get the I gotta beat Dita here to this the image here before she gets it. There it is. Boom. Beat you. The Parapsychology Revolution, a concise anthology of paranormal and psychical research. This was published in 2008. And again, it's about parapsychology. It does touch on psychical research back in the late 1800s. There's articles that do date back that far. There's some interesting names here of some of these articles. Charles Richer, William James, William G. Roll, Joseph Banks Ryan. And some of the other names are a little bit newer. There are articles from 2003, the 1990s, 2001, 1997, 92. A lot of articles, and that's all this book really is, just to forewarn you. It's scientific articles. So this is on actual science being done in the field of parapsychology. And now before you get too excited about all this, just to preface this, this is not the parapsychology that you're thinking of. You may wonder what I mean by that. Well, true parapsychology is about psi research. It's about ESP, extrasensory perception, and psychokinesis, PK. So it's focuses on that. Now, survival studies, survival of bodily death, is part of that, but it's actually something that many parapsychologists have kind of distanced themselves from over the last, I don't know, however many decades, regardless of Ghostbusters in the 1980s, PK parties in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, all that fun stuff. But the goal, the focus is rather on ESP and PK, receptive and expressive psychic activity. And I've talked about this at some of my presentations, that in order for us to understand ghosts and in order for us to understand hauntings and all those things that go with it, we have to understand the root. Now, what is the root? Where does all this stuff come from? Well, essentially, ESP and PK have something to do with it on some level. We don't understand it. Nobody has the answer. No book you're going to find, no paranormal group on YouTube is actually going to give you the answer. No blog has the right answer or information. But we do feel, as a field, not myself, but I kind of do. ESP and PK is the basis for survival studies. So for us to just look at ghosts, we're kind of putting the cart before the horse. If we can't understand those aspects, then what good is it to study the end result? And even further, we could talk about consciousness, because consciousness is where all of the stuff starts in the beginning anyway. So we kind of have to back up the horse a little bit and look at that. So this book, to caution you, if you're a hardcore ghost researcher, be prepared that this book is not about ghost hunting. It actually says that in there. It's not about UFOs, mediums, clairvoyance, astrologers, all that divination stuff, alien abductions, blah, blah, blah. So they do avoid pretty much most of ghosts. Now, they do talk about poltergeist, because that is geared along the lines of psychokinesis, PK. But it does talk a lot about some studies of ESP and PK that do relate to what we're doing out there in the field, or what we should be doing out there in the field. And it's science. It's bringing science into a pseudoscientific field, trying to bring, and again, most of this stuff is laboratory, controlled laboratory stuff, but some of the early stuff is actual field work that's looked at scientifically. And I read a quote today. I can't remember who said it, but I thought about it during the day, and it popped up during lunchtime, and I wrote a quote on one of my social media outlets, my old ghost group, which is now an educational website called Ghost Help. And I tweeted, quote, "It shouldn't be about self-promotion. Who you are, where you are going, or where you have been, as much as it should be about what you are actually accomplishing," unquote. So, you know, we all brag about, we're going here, we're going there, we've been here, we've been there. Check out our YouTube channel, check out our Facebook site, check out our website, check this out, look who we are, we're speaking at this library, we're doing all this stuff and that stuff. And I'm not saying I'm better than that, I've done the same stuff. But what are we actually accomplishing out there in the field? Is it all just subjective stuff? Are we just accomplishing what we need to accomplish to prove to other people that our beliefs about ghosts are true? Or does it go beyond that? Are we doing anything that's going to have an impact, that's going to be in the next book, the next anthology of parapsychology or of ghost research? Are you doing anything of value and merit for the paranormal field? Ask yourself the next time you go to a haunted location. And, you know, question the methods that we're using. I highly recommend that. Look at the tools, the technology. Is it really providing us the information that we think it is? Because it's not. I'll give you the answer. Ovilus, all these random word generators, these radio sweepers, they're fooling us. They're fooling us. They're creating pareidolia. And it's that aside, we can argue about that all day, but the reality of it is we shouldn't be caught up in the tools and technology. What are we actually doing? Even if you are using the tech, how are you backing up that what's happening is truly happening? How are you documenting that? How are you controlling the environment? How are you controlling your experiments? Are you just showing a video and saying, here's our proof, or actually doing the work behind the scenes? Are you documenting how you're gathering this information so that other people can look at your methods and can question how you did it or verify what you've done? That's a little bit more science than what I'm seeing out there. So what are you actually accomplishing? Just ask yourself that the next time you're out there in the field. Because, you read stuff like this, The Parapsychology Revolution, the book of the week this week by Robert M. Schock, PhD, and Logan Yonanjak. Yeah, okay. Logan is, he's worked at the Ryan Research Center in Durham, North Carolina, which is a very good area for pretty much the East Coast. I mean, that's where the work is being done here in the United States. As far as parapsychology, there's not that many places that are actually doing this stuff anymore. Parapsychology is a dying science, and I use the word science very loosely, but, it's up to us. We're in the field, man. We got to take control. We've got to start doing things a little more scientific. And it's kind of hard to say that because what we're doing isn't science, really. And remember, there's more things to what goes on out there than just ghosts. Again, ESP and PK are part of what happens. We need to step back from our limited view. We're looking through things that from a microscope, where we should be looking at it maybe through just a wide-angle lens, a fish-angle lens here, and just look at the wider landscape of what's going on. So I'm going to leave you with that thought, stirring the pot right at the end of the show. That's the way to do it. Makes you wonder what you're going to hear next week. But in the meantime, thanks to everybody that showed up in the chat room and to Audrey for winning her $50 and everyone else who's listening on the archives. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And remember, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.